Amen. Why Phil is doing that, if you would turn to Colossians 2 for me. We're going to pick up our study there. And tonight, before we get started on that, let me apologize for last week. There's many, many stories that go with the lack of church last week, but just let me give you the short story. I had some things going on at my house, nothing too bad, and just some things that happened in life, and I also had to work last week, so I had to work nights last week, not that I had to work any normally differently, but I had to work nights, so that's why. I just had a lot going on and couldn't get to it, so I apologize for that, and I want to make an announcement that before you leave, Deb, that next Wednesday we'll not be having Wednesday night service either due to the national holiday. So go out and be with your family. Whatever it is you do on that night, go and do that and just have a joyous time with your family. We're not going to be having church next Wednesday night. So that brings us – I got it right here, Phil. Thanks. It should be plugged in. We should be ready to go. I see it there. All right. You got me up there. Good. All right. So we're actually going to be picking up at verse 11. I'm not going to go through and read everything. We've discussed beware enough and worked our way down. Tonight, we're really going to be covering the benefits. So we covered much of verse 11 and 12. And there's several benefits in here. I really want to speak about those tonight and kind of bring those out and point out some things. And then we're going to be off another week. So when we come back, we'll pick up on verse 13 and move on from there. So Colossians 2, verse 11 says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and minds, Lord, that you would teach through me, that you would speak through me, Lord, that the things that are in my mind, the things that I've studied, the things that you've shown me would come out, Lord, and the things that are just Chris would be set to the side, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do the teaching tonight. We ask that you open the heart and the mind of the believer, Lord God. And Lord, we look for nothing more than your will. We look for nothing more than your teaching. Amen and amen. All right, so we've been talking about the different, the projector's off, check that out. They did some work on it this week. It didn't help. You can see the spots on it, but looks like they got it out of alignment. So that's not a big deal. So we've been talking about the different benefits that we see in Christ. So the first one that we talked about is the knowledge and acceptance. The two themes that we're talking about is the knowledge and acceptance of Christ's person, who he is, and what he's done. He is a living God, what he's done for us. And the second being the truth behind what Christ accomplished for mankind, every man, every woman, by giving his life and the shedding of his blood at Calvary. So the first benefit we talked about was a person being born again as a result of their faith in Christ. Being born again as the result of their faith in Christ. And number two, my faith is in the cross. My faith in the cross brings me to freedom from the domination of the sin nature. So we, with our faith properly placed in Christ Jesus, should not be dominated by sin. If we're a Christian, our faith is in Christ, we should not be dominated by sin. Are sins still going to affect us? Yes. All right, but we should not be continually dominated by sin. The Holy Spirit should be working in us, should be taking that from us. Now, can it take a while? Yes. Do I have an answer why that is? Why sometimes when we get saved, things just we don't have a need for them anymore, right? And sometimes things hold on. The same question goes, why are different people affected by different things? You may be affected by that. I might be affected by that. It's just the things that are in us that we're naturally drawn to, all right? But if our faith is in Christ, these things should be changed. We should be in the state of being sanctified. So we're going to continue to talk about that and see the rest of the benefits here and understand what each benefit means. So the thing that I do want to point out is benefits 3, 4, and 5, and this is really where we're going to pick up tonight. Benefits 3, 4, and 5 all have the term co in them. We are co-something with Christ, co-baptized, co-raised, and co-quickened. And this is all the things that we went through with walking through those two verses that we read tonight. So benefit number three, my baptism into Christ makes me one with Him. I am in Christ. I am in Christ. And when we talk about baptism and Christianity, especially looking at all the different types of denominations and different organizations and different bodies of Christians out there, for lack of a better word, baptism can mean several different things. All right. Also, different denominations, different bodies, different churches place the importance of baptism in different spots. You might go to a church and you might have been raised that you need to be baptized to be saved. That could be something. You might have went to a church and said, well, you need to be baptized with the evidence and speaking of other tongues to be saved. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. All right, so we need to be clear what kind of baptisms there are. And throughout Christianity, the believer sees three forms of baptisms in the New Testament. We see the baptism into Christ, which is actually what we're talking about here, the saved experience, the being born again experience. We see baptism into water, all right? Now, baptism into water, that doesn't save you. So I've talked to several people that says that was a requirement of their church, that they be baptized to be saved in water. That water doesn't do a daggone thing, all right? If you're in this church, the only thing that water does is give you a nice, nasty taste in your mouth. It's the outward expression, all right? You coming up as a new Christian saying, I am saved, I'm born again, I'm going to come up and I'm going to proclaim it to the whole church. I'm going to proclaim it to my family. That is the outward expression, all right? Is it in the Bible? Yes. Is it scriptural? Yes. Did we see John the Baptist baptizing people? Yes. Did he baptize Jesus Christ? Yes. What an honor. Can you think of that? You being a prophet, knowing the Son of Man, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming and getting to baptize him? So it's scriptural, it's there, but it's not that baptism into Christ, the being saved experience. Then we have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is the second work of grace, you being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, do you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit to be saved? Not at all. It's another work. It's a continuation of. There's going to be lots of people when we get to heaven that might never have experienced that. Maybe they were never taught. Maybe, who knows what the reason is? But to be saved, that's not part of it. But that, again, that is a part of the Christian experience. What we're specifically focusing on tonight is the baptism into the body, the supernatural event where the believing sinner being merged into Christ, being merged into the family, being merged into the church as a whole. That's what we are referring to tonight, the salvation experience. We're baptized into Christ. Again, we think about the Titanic. Water's all around the Titanic, and right now water's all through the Titanic. We're baptized into Christ. Christ is in us. We're in Him. We are co in Him. I am in Christ. So that's benefit number three, being in Christ. The next benefit, maybe. Oh, man, not again. Phil, I might need some help, bud. Oh, there, I'm clicking past it now. We see some scripture here. Let me point this out, not just what we read, because I don't want you to think that I'm taking one verse and taking it out of context. Let's see what the Bible says about it. 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we all have been made to drink into the same Spirit." This is where the believing sinner is made one with Christ. Their faith is in Christ, and what He accomplished at Calvary gives them the position of being in Christ. When God sees you, He sees you in Christ. So that's why when our faith is properly placed, God sees us as complete. That's why when we sin, and it's inevitable we're going to, somebody's going to pull out in front of us, all right? Somebody's going to do something. Somebody at work's going to say something. Somebody on Facebook's going to say something. You know, okay, maybe it's just me. So maybe I'm the only one people pull out in front of. All right, we're going to sin. But by grace, when God looks down, He sees that I'm in Christ. He doesn't see that because Christ. Now, do I need repentance? Yes, I do. Every day I need repentance. Every day you need repentance. But he sees us. His grace is enough. We are in Christ. So this is where the believer is made one with Christ. We also look to Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. And this is the second thing we're going to look at. We're baptized into his death. We also see in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So Paul carries this theme throughout many of his different books that he writes. As a result, the believer's new union with Christ has made him a new creation. We've talked about that before. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. When we have a salvation experience, there should be a true change in our heart. Amen? So many times, we sit through a church service, and hopefully we hear a salvation message given. All right? We hear who we are in Christ. We hear that we're a sinner. We hear that we need to come to Christ. We hear that all the good things that come with the salvation experience, and a call is given, and a person responds. Sometimes that person simply responds out of guilt. They're just guilty. They come up, and we kind of sit back and we think, well, why didn't that person ever come back? What happened? Well, they come back home, and who knows what happened in their mind, all right? The true salvation experience should change that person forever, forever. When the true salvation experience happens, they should come to Christ, and the immediate change should start to happen. The immediate change should start to happen. I was listening to a program the other day, and somebody was talking about requirements for their church. Well, we think that they should have 12 weeks of this training, and then they should move on to this next step, and then they should do this. And then once they get to that level, well, then they can be a member of the church. After they get to that level, they've been here for a year, they've done all this stuff, now... What was Christ's requirement to be a part of the church? Anybody know? That you accept him. That was his requirement. That was his requirement. That you accept him, who he is, and what he does. All right? Now, that doesn't mean you can have people come in and just start doing whatever. All right? There's got to be some authority. There's got to be some training. There's got to be teaching. All that stuff is a part of it. But we've got to be in Christ. The inward change, that spiritual circumcision, should happen in that person. And you should see an immediate change. And then in us all, and I'm including myself and everybody that's here above and younger than me, all around me, whatever, the Holy Spirit's continually working in us. We should always be moving forward, always be growing in Christ Jesus. There is no graduate of Christ Jesus. There is no graduate of this word. There is no graduate of what he did on the cross for us. And again, I've stated it before, I'm going to state it again. I don't know that even when we get to heaven, even when we see him for who he is, even when we see his beauty, even when we see it with our own eyes and know who he is and what he's done, that we'll understand the price that was paid there. Amen? I don't know that. It's going to be fantastic is the only word I can say. All right, so the believer's new union with Christ. Baptism into water, again, does not complete salvation. You don't accept Christ and then have to get baptized. You don't accept Christ and then have to take communion. Those are all good things. They need to happen in the church. Communion is good. Fasting is good. Baptism is good. But that does not complete the salvation experience. The salvation experience is you accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior and saying that he is all that you need. Now, again, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the second subsequent work of grace. Again, it's not the salvation experience. It's the ongoing work. Should you be baptized in the Holy Spirit? We believe in this church that, yes, you should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're not, are you going to go to heaven? I'll see you there. Hopefully our mansions will be right next to each other. But the Bible teaches us that that is the second work of grace and separate and distinct from salvation. The baptism in the Holy Spirit does not save, but it gives power for the believer to endure this life. I was thinking about it today, and I'm just going to be honest. I'm having a difficult week. It's not nearly as difficult as some of the stuff you guys are going through, but it's just difficult. And you know what? It's just a little bit difficult. There's people out there that are going through a lot worse right now. You guys could tell me stories that totally blow mine out of the water. But you know what? Without the Holy Spirit working in us, without the Holy Spirit settling down this mind, without the Holy Spirit being a comforter, being peace to us, helping us out, You wonder why people go crazy. That's why. The Holy Spirit helping us out daily, giving the believer power, giving the believer wisdom. Again, so many times, at least in my walk, I'm hoping in your walk, you know, you come up against a problem or you come up against a situation and you're thinking, Lord, man, how am I going to get through this? Man, this is, or you come up against a problem that you're working on, maybe on your job. How do I fit? And all of a sudden, light turns on. All of a sudden, something comes in. Christ helping you out. Christ giving you the Holy Spirit working in you, helping you do this, helping you each day do this. So the Holy Spirit endures the believer with power in this present evil world. Now, the different events regarding baptism are not to be interpreted by their scriptural setting. In other words, in this case, we have to look at how and exactly what we're looking at, exactly what we're looking at. The benefit of being saved, being made one with Christ, is what Paul is referring to here. And as we move on here into this, into these couple other benefits that we're going to look at tonight, hopefully you'll understand. Because, again, if we don't see Scripture in context, if we don't understand what became for, what came before, and what came after, we could totally take a Scripture and take it completely out of context. And I know nobody's ever seen that done before. All right, so we want to understand exactly what we're talking about, and that's why I believe in Christian education. That's why I believe in coming together and taking books of the Bible, taking chapters of the Bible, taking verses, and spending 2 or 3 weeks on them. That way we can see exactly where it's being used and how it's being used, and hopefully it sticks in us, and we can go out and we can explain that to somebody else. So another thing that we talked about is buried. Again, it's not literal, but it's spiritual. We're not literally burying ourselves, but we were spiritually buried with him. It describes the fact of the person I once was, the person that was dominated by the sin nature, having been crucified and buried with Christ. That old person that I was is no more. That old person that I was is buried. In fact, when we take something out back and we bury it, are we going to go back out and get that thing again? No, you bury it for a reason. You don't want to see it again, okay? So that's what we're doing with that sin man. We don't plan on seeing that sin man again. The person I once was has been crucified with Christ. It has been crucified with Christ. It's God's design that the spiritual truth remain consistent in my everyday life. That's why it's so important that this message of Jesus Christ is an everyday thing with us. That I die to self every day. That I recognized what he did on the cross for me daily. You know why? This mind forgets. You know why it forgets? Because this human body is designed to operate on self. Because I'm out appealing to self every day. I'm appealing to self every day. Every day I see it. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. So we've got to kill that every day of our life. We've got to look back and say, God, it's all you. Jesus Christ, kill this flesh in me, kill this man in me, and let your spirit shine through. Let Jesus Christ, the person of who he is and what he is, do it in me. Amen? All right, let's go on to benefit number four. I was co-raised with him and in him by faith, not raised separately. Not raised separately. When Jesus was raised from death to life, I was raised with him. Therefore, I sit now with him in heavenly places. Well, how can that be? We're all here tonight, but this is definitely not heaven. This isn't heaven on earth, is it? No. Well, let's look at Ephesians 2:6. It says, and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. All right, so this has the connotation, even though I have a journey to complete here, I have a work to complete here, I have a life to live here, on this earth, in the mind of God, we are already with Christ. In the mind of God, we have already been buried and resurrected in Christ. In the mind of God, we are already part of the congregation of heaven. Amen? Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? He already knows us as his family. Jesus is already our brother, right? He's already our father. And if we drive out here tonight and God forbid something happens, guess what? We're already a part of the family. And being a part of the family gives us all these benefits that we're talking about here and so many more. So many more benefits by accepting Jesus Christ, by having our faith in him. And again, I don't want to get off on that vein, but just, you know, if you're thinking about that later, think about all the benefits we have for being in Christ. I've been co-raised with Christ. I've been raised with Him. Benefit number five, I've been co-quickened or energized by the Spirit of God. I've been energized by the Spirit of God. Not only have I been co-buried, not only have I been co-raised, but the potential of being co-quickened lies within my grasp. Now, the potential is what I said. Why do I say the potential? Because so many times Christians have an experience. We have a salvation experience. And then we stop. I'm saved. That's all. And then we go through life, not victorious. We're saved, but we're miserable. And I lived like this for a little while. I was saved, but I was miserable. I was miserable, and I didn't know why, because you just don't know why. Then maybe you're in a Pentecostal church, and maybe you get filled by the Holy Spirit. Maybe you get that second work of grace, all right? Because you know what? God is so easily and so loving to give that out. You don't have to be a perfect person to get it. You can just come up and say, yeah, I'm ready, and again, being saved and being miserable, you get the Holy Spirit, and then you stop. You think, I've got it. And a lot of churches teach this. I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm done. That's it. I've made it. And that's not the experience at all. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He is your comforter. That prayer language given to you is between you and God to help you through things. Okay? But that's not the end. So I have the potential of finding that new power source. Again, when we're a sinner, that old power source, that's ourself. That's us doing things. And you guys that are car guys thinking about getting that old car, and you look under the hood and you see that old, and you say, that's not going to do it. I'm taking that thing out. Right, Dennis? And you say, oh yeah, I'm putting a new one in, and I'm going to go fast. That's the Holy Spirit in us. God say, no, that old self, that old man, that old engine, that old power source is no more. Now you have a godly power source in you, working in you, giving you power, changing your thoughts, changing your processes, changing who you are, changing what you want, what you need, who you're going to be in Christ. See, we should come back in a year from now. We should come back in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, and not be the same person we are right now. We shouldn't be that old same lump sitting on the same seat in the same pew in the church that we were 5 years ago. Now, if you want to keep that seat warm, gladly do it, but please grow in Christ, right? Amen? Don't just come in and sit on what you knew 20 years ago. We're to continue to learn, to continue to educate, to continue to ask God to work in us, to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to work in us, to do things. So the power source is available to the sinner when he gets saved to change and to be a godly power source. We now have a new power source, the person of the Holy Spirit who aids me in my Christian experience, who aids you in your Christian experience, who helps us on a daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes minute by minute. Because sometimes this world's rough, right? If we're sitting in a hospital and something's going on with one of our loved ones, it's a difficult situation. Amen? It's hard when it's not you. A lot of times we got more faith when it's us that's sick and not someone else, because we can't do anything. Only God can do something like that. All right? It's so easy, when it's somebody else that's mad to give, well, just settle down. I'm angry. They hurt me. That really, Holy Spirit helping us. Or when things are falling down around you, right? Though it feels like the walls are caving in. And I know, maybe not you guys, but sometimes the walls start caving in this life that we're in. And the Holy Spirit's just standing by, holding them up, keeping your mind sane. This is the power. This is the power. And this evidence can be found in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, amen, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. Quickened us together with Christ. However, the Holy Spirit works, it certainly doesn't stop at that point. The power source of the Christian life is when he energizes the believer daily. He energizes us through the word, through the song, through this church, through the body. You know, that's why all this is so important to us. All this, you know, it's important that we go home and we study and we read and we let the Holy Spirit speak to us and guide us. It's important that we come together and be educated. It's important that we come in and have praise and worship time. You know what? Because as long as the teaching is pointing out Jesus Christ, as long as the praise and worship is pointing out Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about fireworks and laser lights and shows and all the stuff that churches are doing now. I'm talking about a true worship experience. You know, worship is important. It's a part of this Christian experience. You know, God didn't give us the book of Psalms just to say, oh, that was nice. You know, he gave it to us for a reason. He didn't give us the education of this word just to say, well, read it once and be done with it. He wants that to be a continual process in our life to continually enlighten us. Amen? So the power source, it energizes us. And we look in Romans 8 and 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. That power is within you. You might say, well, Chris, it's been a rough day. I don't necessarily know that I feel that Spirit operating. I'm tired. It was hard today. All right? A lot's happened this week. All this stuff's going on. You know, sometimes it's just a little thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Sometimes it's just that favorite praise song, you know? Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. You know, that just building in us, working in us. Sometimes for some people it's that favorite scripture that they've just clung to, you know, and it keeps it going. You know, the Holy Spirit working in us. That's why all these things are so important to us. So important to us. To quicken means to make alive. It means to make alive. This mortal body, this body that was dead, has been raised with Christ to make alive. Now, some might point out and say that this scripture is speaking of the coming rapture and resurrection. And I guess you can get that. But when we look at Romans 8, it's how the believer should live and progress in sanctification. So again, without taking that verse out of context and looking at the whole book, looking at the whole thing that it was written in, I've got to make the jump and I've got to believe that this points me back to Jesus Christ, quickening my mortal body, helping me live for Christ, the Holy Spirit helping me each day. As long as my faith is remaining in Christ, his all-atoning work, the Spirit of God enables me to live a Christian life. The Spirit of God enables me to live in this world as a Christian. The Spirit of God enables me to progress in Christ. The Spirit of God enables me, not by my own self, not by some man's book, not by some nice story I heard on the radio, not by a TV ministry necessarily, unless they're preaching or teaching the right thing, but enables me by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of Jesus Christ working in me to get through the day. And maybe not you, but I've had some days where I've needed the Holy Spirit to really work in me to get through the day. You know, we go through those times in life that Jesus Christ, this Bible never promised us that this Christian experience would be easy, did he? He never promised us that there would be no persecution. He never promised us that all the laws in the land would line up to what we believe. Just look what happened today in the news, all right? But he did say he'd take care of us. He did say that he would be the friend that sticks closer than the brother. And he did promise us a kingdom that is so much unlike this world, that is completely rejuvenated, that is completely made clean in him. A kingdom that we're going to walk on streets of gold, and it's not going to be anything to us at all. We're not even going to think about it because of who he is and what he's done. Amen? Amen. That's exciting to me, church. So, with that, our benefits of placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, faith in Christ's cross causes a person to be born again. Our faith in Jesus Christ causes that born again experience in me. A true born again experience to happen in me. A true born again experience that I'm going to stick to, I'm going to cling to, because God is changing me. Jesus Christ is changing, literally changing my DNA. Faith in Christ's cross brings me to freedom from the domination, I'm going to say dominoes, from the domination of the sin nature. All right? I'm not dominated anymore by these things. Now, again, there's a process, that sanctification process. Sometimes, again, we think, well, I got to stop doing this today. But the moment you think in your own mind that I'm going to stop doing this, guess what? That flesh starts fighting back and you end up doing it. Because you can't do it on your own. We've got to come to the realization that Christ has got to do it. It's not self. Because the moment I engage that self engine, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. Victory is going to come through Jesus Christ. Number three, faith in Christ's cross causes them to be co-buried with Christ, to be made one with Him. Faith in Christ's cross causes the believer to be co-raised with Him and to live in Him. I am one with Him. I've been raised with Him. I'm living in Him. When God looks down at me, my faith is in the proper spot. He sees Jesus Christ. I'm in the family. I'm already there. I've already been adopted. There's no paperwork that needs to be signed. There's no ceremony that needs to be happened. I'm already there. It's already happened. Number five, faith in Christ's cross co-quickens or energizes the believer by the Spirit of God. He makes me alive. He energizes me. You know, when I come in on a Wednesday night, and maybe you guys can help me out, some of you that are older, why is Sunday and Wednesday so difficult sometimes? The spiritual warfare that you have to go through to get here on a Sunday morning. Maybe not around your house, but around my house it happens. But the spiritual warfare to get here, just to be with God's people, just to feel the presence of God in my life working with me, energizing me, quickening me to be here, right? It's amazing, church. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, next week, well, the week after next, my slides ran out. Oh, man. Next week, we're going to pick up on verse 13 there. We're not having church on July 3rd. But the week after that, we're going to pick up on verse 13, and we're going to continue this. We've only got a few left, but I've been praying about this, and I'm trying to get the Lord's direction. I think for a little while we're going to continue in Colossians because there's so many things here that we can learn as a body. Is there any questions for tonight? Anything that wasn't clear? Anything that you want to make a comment on? Anything that might have made you think about something or touched your heart? Deb? Sure. That slight whisper of the Holy Spirit telling you not to do something or telling you to do something so many times.
It was trivial, but it was important.
Sometimes those little trivial things, and I think I've stated this before at times, those little trivial things mean sometimes more than the huge thing. Because you know God's listening. You know He's taking care of you. Amen? And He did it for you.
Yeah.
He didn't do it for us. He did it for you. He did it for you, you and me. Amen? Amen. Anybody else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then you can be dismissed for the night. Father God, we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, Lord Jesus. We thank You for being able to discern Your Word. We thank You for the education that You give us through Your Word, for this life, Lord Jesus. We thank You for the Holy Spirit working in us, Lord. Lord, please continue to draw us closer to You. Please continue to draw this body closer to You, Lord Jesus. Lord, let our will and our self, Lord Jesus, and who we are just fade away. And let us come towards You, Lord Jesus. I just feel that tonight in my spirit, Lord Jesus, that we're just drawing closer to You day by day, Lord Jesus, Wednesday by Wednesday, Sunday by Sunday, finding out who You are, Lord. Lord, I ask that You continue to do the work in our hearts and our lives, that You continue to quicken us, Lord Jesus, to make us alive in You, Lord Jesus, to continue to help us in this Christian life that we're living. Lord, we thank You, Lord. And just today, Lord, we just look for Your soon return, Lord Jesus. We look for you to come back, Lord Jesus. We look to walk on those streets of gold, Lord Jesus. We look to see your face, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for what you're going to do. I ask that you bless the people, that you bring them back, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray tonight. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.